I read this little article. This is not mine. This is by Daniel Kalinda. Daniel Kalinda is the associate to Reinhard Bonnke, who has the huge crusades where hundreds of thousands and literally millions of people get saved in their crusades. And Daniel Kalinda, every time he speaks, I really like him. And he ministers at some of the Jesus conferences. And I mean, he took up an offering one time, and I thought, oh my God, I learned so much. There were so many good, meaty principles in the offering that he took. And so I got on their little email list when they did that crusade here in Houston a few years ago. And I get their emails, and I know maybe some of you already got this and you already read it. It's his. I'm going to read it to you. It's not mine. But I was really convicted by it. And so if you're one of those people that you go, oh, too many emails, delete, delete, and you didn't get to hear what he said, before we have a few people share, I'm going to read this because it sort of goes along with our topic today. Daniel Kalinda said this, that the concept of thanksgiving is deeply rooted in Scripture. The word thanksgiving and its derivatives are found 137 times spanning the entirety of the Bible. It represents a powerful spiritual force. One of the first books I ever read was From Prison to Praise, and it was a guy teaching the principles about how no matter what trap you found yourself in, you could praise your way out. And so he said many people, even Christians, though, overlook this principle. Living a lifestyle, not just like when good things happen, but a lifestyle of thanksgiving and gratitude to God can actually become one of the most effective spiritual weapons that has the potential to release the richest blessings of God in our life. See, all the weapons of God, I'm thinking most of them come out of our mouth. Prayer, preaching, praise, pleading the blood of Jesus. You know, we have to do something, but praise is a spiritual weapon. In Psalms, we have a powerful example, Daniel says, of this truth. The Bible says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing out of your mouth. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he that's made us and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then that principle, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And you're thinking, oh, I feel far from God. I don't even know how to approach God. Start with thanksgiving. And enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's Psalm 100, verse 1 through 4. When God asks us to live a lifestyle of thankfulness and gratitude, it's always for our benefit. See, it's not just because he needs to hear that. This truth can be easily overlooked. Daniel says, I believe that giving thanks to God is one of the most powerful weapons of warfare that has the potential of bringing great spiritual breakthrough no matter our circumstance. Thanksgiving releases faith, and faith always brings breakthrough. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So what do you think when you hear the word gates? Gates are the points of entry, and they're always attached to some kind of wall or some kind of boundary. Walls are usually built for the purpose of preventing people from coming into a place or probably contain something of great value that they want to protect anybody from getting. And so gates become a point of entry that enables people to go beyond a boundary and enter in a place where others can't go. Psalm 100, this little small scripture, has a lot of profound messages in it. It's the revelation of a principle which gives us a secret on how to abide in God's presence. It opens the barriers that separate the things of heaven from the things of earth. And so if there's a boundary there between you and getting what God says, between you and the promises of God, between you and even feeling the peace of God, that praise and thanksgiving can break through that gate, that boundary, and get heaven on earth, even as it should be. And so most people, and when he said this, I got convicted, pray out of a place of need. They pray out of a place of deficiency. And so they're petitioning God. And there's nothing wrong with the prayer petition, but we're petitioning God to come and do something to change our circumstances. And then some people pray when they're fearful or when they're worried. And many more pray out of discontentment. But if we want to be honest about it, and I thought, ooh, and I highlighted this, the prayer life of many Christians could best be described as a time of complaining to God about the things in our lives that we're not happy with. And I'm like, whoa, you nailed us. Our prayer times are complaining to God about the things in our life that we're not happy about. This was the essence of the heart of God's people Israel when they were in the wilderness. And we always go, how could they do that? How could they be like that? And if we'd examine ourselves, there's some similarities. And so Daniel says, the visible manifested presence of God was hovering over them. God comes and habits are missed every single Sunday, every time we worship together, when we have RPM, when we pray together. God's presence is always so strong. And he says the visible manifested presence of God was over them as a cloud by day and fire by night, but it never was enough for them. Heaven's manna fell every morning for them to eat, and yet they were griping about cucumbers and melons that they had had in Egypt. Fresh, clean water was there. They had never had it before. It supernaturally flowed, and yet they found something else to complain about. God was taking them to a land of their own, but they constantly complained about their circumstances and accused him of doing them wrong. Because of their attitudes, most of them died in the wilderness. Their complaints and dissatisfaction with God aborted what he intended to do, which was to take them really to a wonderful place that had already been prepared for them. But they never made it because their lives were void of gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. Their whining and discontent, which was really telling God he had somehow wronged them, closed the gates to all the promises that God intended for them. God loves everyone, but he doesn't really like whiners, complainers, and people who are continually dissatisfied. He doesn't like people who don't appreciate him. He listens to the prayers of the whiners and the complainers, but most of the people who get their prayers answered, if you'll watch, are people who thank God, praise God, and have like that attitude of gratitude that we talk about. God loves everyone, but Daniel says, I believe most grateful people find that their prayers are answered more frequently, probably because they're praying the right kind of prayers. So we must ask ourselves these questions. How much of my prayer life is spent in thanksgiving to God for everything he's already done and given to me versus how much of my prayer life is spent begging God to change the things in my life that I don't like? The percentage that we assign to those two questions will to a large degree determine the amount of peace, joy, blessing, fulfillment, and victory in our lives. So take that to heart. I will too. Nobody has to raise their hands on the percentage. We won't have the little thing up here. And we'll put it over your head and high and low. But really, we need to take stock of the habits we get into. Some of them are good and some of them are not so good. And so we're going to have three people share this morning. If anybody else, if we have time, anybody else wants to share something they're thankful about, we'll let you just spontaneously spur the moment. We'll take a chance. But Court and Sabata or people that if you watch their lives, when we sang that song, In the Sun or Rain, My Life Celebrates. And really, that describes these two. Whether it's good times or bad, they celebrate. They celebrate life and they celebrate the Lord. And so they've had a few things that were unexpected, job things, economic things that happened in the last year and a half or so, the last 2 years. But I haven't seen them murmur or grumble or complain. And so I asked Court to come up because I believe they purposefully try to maintain an attitude of gratitude. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. So Court, come up and cheer.
Hi, everybody. My name is Courtney. Most people call me Court. I'm married to the really cute Indian in the back. Wave, Sabata. That's Sabata. That's my husband. We'll have been married for 5 years next summer. And Lena, she asked me to speak on behalf of Sabata and myself about our attitude about thankfulness and gratitude, especially when you're going through difficult things. So I was actually really excited about that because there's typically something always going on in our lives. So, surprise. So, I was recently blown away with a scripture that talks about the story of Joseph. Sabata and I love Joseph because of all of the hardships that he went through and the remarkable breakthrough that he had that not only helped millions of people, it helped nations, even to a personal level of bringing family reconciliation down. And so it's just amazing what God can do with the hardships that you face. But it was interesting to me in Psalms 105, the scripture says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. I love this verse. I love it first off because God sent Joseph as a slave. It wasn't an attack of the enemy. God did it. God knew what he was going to do all along. And so when Sabata and I got laid off back in the end of October, we knew immediately it was a setup. We knew right away. So like Joseph, he had prophetic promises, but he didn't know what the journey was going to look like. Every one of you has prophetic promises spoken over your life. But we sometimes decide to play travel agent for our own destiny, and we get stranded on what I call self-pity island, where the coconuts don't taste very sweet and they fall on your head a lot of the time. We were going through a lot in October. Like I said, we had moved out to Spring. It was 40 miles away. We were commuting constantly. Every Sunday, it was an 80-mile drive just to come to Epicenter and drop our dogs off before. We had a huge, beautiful house, you know, and then, you know, we knew it was the right place for us to go. We knew we were going to Noble Energy, but Sabbat had only been there a year and 2 months. That was it. So in the midst of all of these things, it's definitely given us a lot of flexibility in terms of very fast changes and transitions. So in January, we just kind of decided to collect and get out away from our natural environment, to pull away, because of course you have to make decisions when these things come. So we were in Pittsburgh and we heard the lyrics of a song and it just ministered to us and almost became an anthem for our lives. And it just simply says, "He leads me in, he takes me out. What a journey walking with you, God." And I can't tell you what that did for us in the midst of all of the question marks and the decisions that we had to make. Most people are happy to start with God leading them in. We all are, we're excited. But when the word starts to test us, a lot of times we want to lead ourselves out. What would have happened if Joseph tried to break his chains in prison? What if he hadn't gone through all of those years where the word genuinely did test him? He wouldn't have been ready. So here's a little bit of our experience. Like I said, we were laid off last October. Immediately, we decided not to entertain fear, period. That second that it happened. It wasn't like, oh, well, on a bad night, I'm gonna be sorry for myself. I'm gonna have to come up with other, no, we just wouldn't go there. We were talking about it earlier today. We didn't have those conversations. We actually don't have those kind of conversations because we purpose in our heart to know that God is so for us that he really is doing something good in the midst of all of this uncertainty. So we never allowed fear to set up. Even the night Sabato was laid off, they did a dinner. We showed up there, about probably 25 people there, and we were probably the two happiest ones there. Everybody else was sad. They were crying. They were filled with despair. And it was almost like the world was giving us a pass to say, no, 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 it's okay. You can behave this way. You can think this way. But you know, God has called us to a higher living and a higher life. You know, and the world is watching. You know, they don't even acknowledge it, but they're watching to see if the God you serve really will come through for you. It's a chance for us. I really felt to exude joy, true joy, not the kind that tires you out, a true joy, and the fact that we could showcase that we are his children and we really trust in him. We were trying to think, we probably had 30 to 50 different families and friends that have been laid off in the past year. So it was a very popular topic, you know, when, what are you doing? Have you found work? No, 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 no. You know, and yet still you could say it with a genuine smile. So we filled our hearts with joy, and we lived one day at a time. That was a huge key for us. Without having an idea or a time frame about where God was taking us and how it was going to look. And I feel like there's so much freedom in that. We get prophetic words and all of a sudden we start to draw a map. We imagine this is going to happen. It's going to look like this. And then you get discouraged. You know, I don't think Joseph, when he's like, hey, brothers, check out my dreams, and then he's in a pit, and then he's in a prison, and he's running from Potiphar's wife. I don't think he saw any of that happening, you know? And so that's part of it. Just give yourselves the freedom of letting God draw out the storyline for you. We just have to trust and follow him. So when we heard about Sabbata's job, I literally had a vision of Psalm 23, and I saw Jesus leading me by still water. And I told Sabbata, in this season, he's going to be our Prince of Peace. And I knew that's what he was wanting to develop us. And so just having the Lord show up, and I just saw him, literally, beautiful waters, and he's going to walk before us. That's all I needed. That's it. I didn't need to know what my bank account looked like. I didn't need to have answers for every person that kept asking me for an answer. I knew that God was taking us through this and he would be our Prince of Peace. And it gave us a resiliency that can only come from heaven. So let's just fast forward a year from now. Our house in Spring sold after being on the market for a long period of time. I think we had three separate closings. I was playing in Europe at the time. He was having to deal with a lot of stuff. And sorry, babe, but he did good. Okay, we live in Houston now, which is much closer here to church, to our friends, our family. Sabata became an American citizen. Woo-woo! We started our own business, Houston Car Auto, selling cars like candy bars, with Everett. And it's been amazing. God has been blessing that. I've been promoted to play principal with Mercury and invited to play with the Houston Ballet, the Houston Grand Opera, amongst many other blessings. Doors of favor that only God can open, period. Only God can open it. So now, having gone through this amazing season, our faith has grown even bigger, period. We expect favor wherever our feet touch, and what we lay our hands on will turn to gold. We know that. Because of this season, our words carry weight and breakthrough, because we can testify of the goodness of the Lord. So I just encourage all of you to stay focused, pay attention. When you're going through these pivotal times in your life, it's a setup, and God is growing you. And he's doing it because he loves you so very much. So just, you know, remember that he's called each and every one of you to succeed. That's his heart. He wants you to succeed. Enjoy the true journey of walking with the Lord and the adventure your life will carry. But beyond that, remember, the words want you to pass the test. That's it.
That's good teaching, isn't it? 25 people at the dinner, all moaning and groaning that were his cohorts that hadn't lost their job, wanting them to feel self-pity, and they resisted that. Ooh, do I resist or do I give in? So that's amazing, Court. And you know, there's still more to replenish. There's still more favor in their future. For those of you who don't know, Sabata has a master's in geology. He was a geologist at a large oil company. And so that industry has suffered some difficulties, but they are not going to let that define them. And they're going to let the destiny of God define them. I'm going to turn this over to Jay. There's a lot that he has to be thankful for, and he's always telling it on Facebook. I mean, I tell Jay I know everything that's going on because I follow him on Facebook. But share anything that you want to talk about today, Jay.
All right, thank you. First off, I want to say that I love y'all so much. This church, the body of Christ here, it's so real. It's different because it's so real. And y'all are just amazing. I've learned so much. Last Sunday, we got blessed. Somebody gave me something. And on our way out to the car, I was talking to my wife about it. And then I was reaching in my pocket to get something, and I pulled out this envelope. And I was like, what is this? And I opened it up, and it was a gift card to HEB. And before we came to church, I looked in our pantry, because we didn't have much food, and we didn't have the money. And I asked my wife, well, what are we going to do? And she goes, we're going to take it day by day. And I said, all right, we're going to take it day by day. You know, my wife says it. All right, we do it. We got this. You know, and then we got that gift card, and it was specific. It wasn't money. It was a gift card to HEB, which is exactly where we shop at. And we got to get our groceries. I don't know who that was, whoever gave that to us, but it was on point, and we really needed it. Thank you so much. I have this ministry map at home that I pray over, and there's names on there. And at first, I would write the names and say, okay, I'm going to pray for this person. And God said, well, when I put them on your heart, then write it down. So I said, okay. So one of my friends, her mom was heavy on my heart. So I wrote her on Facebook and I asked her, how's your mom doing? She says, she's doing okay. We're still waiting on her a heart. She has a lot of health problems. They're waiting for a heart. So I started talking life into her, just speaking, giving her, you know, words of encouragement. And then God spoke to me and said, tell her I'm going to get her mom a heart. So I was like, okay. The Lord is telling me that he's going to get your mom a heart. She will get her heart. I said, when her heart comes, I want you to know that it was from Jesus who gave her this heart. And she was like, you know, okay, thank you so much, Jay, you know. And then I posted something on Facebook, and it was Jesus standing at a hospital bed, and it said, don't stop praying for your miracles. Her mom read that and said, this makes me cry. And all I wrote is, it's coming. I knew that heart was coming. I knew it. Not even a month later, she's on Facebook with her mom and said, pray for my mom. She's about to go in surgery and get her new heart. Wow. So she got her new heart. And I was like, yes, praise God. Like, yes, you know. And I was like, I wrote her on there and I was like, so how's it feel that Jesus gave your mother a new heart? She goes, it feels amazing. And I said, you know, just be blessed and amen. And God loves y'all, and he's going to take care of your mom. So I'll share my testimonies. That's okay. So I was a really bad alcoholic. I started drinking at the age of 13 years old, hanging around with the wrong people, wrong crowd. I mean, I'd go to sleep, and I'd have a 40 in my hand, and it'd be open, and I'd just be sleeping with it. I mean, it was bad. Or I'd hide alcohol bottles in this little mini fridge I had in my room because I wasn't old enough to go buy alcohol, and I didn't want to run out because I had a problem with, I'd crave it. And as time went on, you know, I just kept drinking years and years and years, drinking and drinking, and I just got tired. And a lot of things happened. My dad passed away from cancer. Even when he was passing away, I mean, I was still drinking. He was a mighty man of God. Means a lot. I mean, just seeing him in the hospice bed, and he still had a smile on his face. I mean, he was still writing poetry because he wrote poetry for the Lord. The things that I saw while he was passing was, and the man that he was just showing me something like, what does he have? What was it that he had? I was like, he's still smiling. He's still happy. Like, there's a point in time where the lady came in as he was passing away and was actually trying to wake him up because he was kind of going in and out. And he kind of woke up and told her, I'm trying to be with my Heavenly Father. Like, I want to go. And I saw that, you know, and I'm watching this, I'm seeing this, and the night before he passed away, I knew, like me and my mom, we knew he was going. So I was crying and I asked God, like, I know he's going to be with you, but can you show me more? Please show me more. And there's a scriptures in my mom's living room. So I just closed my eyes and I mixed them up and I grabbed one, and the one that I grabbed said, he will be with me in paradise. And it was perfect. I was like, and I just cried more. And just to see the life that he lived showed me so much. So I got to a point in my life where everything was just going downhill, and I was just tired of being in that dreadful, where the devil was just like taking hold of me and just pulling me down. I try to get back up, and he's just pulling me down. And I said, man, I don't want to live like this anymore. And a lot of things happened, so I lived by myself, didn't have much money, was paying the bills by myself, and I was just in my living room with the Lord. I just started to cry. I'm just crying out to God. I had some worship music on, and I felt like I wasn't here. It kind of felt like my house was like floating in the air. I mean, the Spirit of God just came in so strong out through the whole house, and it was just like waves of it. And everything got super white. It was just like, it's like my house, I wasn't even on this earth at that moment. And I was crying out to God, and I asked God for the gift of tongues. And my mouth started to open like this, but nothing was coming out. I was just like, and then this little voice came in my ear and said, "It's not real. You're not saying anything. This is stupid. What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh." And then I heard the Lord speak, and he said, "Open your mouth, speak." As soon as I heard him, it just came out, and I started to speak and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. No one laid hands on me. Nobody touched me. Just me and God started speaking in tongues. And ever since that moment, my life has changed. I've just been a warrior. I don't want alcohol. I don't want nothing to do with it. You know, I'm strong in Christ. There's no temptation there. There's nothing. It makes me sick. So thank you for listening. That's it.
I know there's more to that. We'll get in bits and pieces. I love that, Jay. I didn't know how you got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got filled with the Holy Ghost all by myself in my kitchen, too. Nobody laid hands on me, but the Holy Spirit is all it takes. And you got delivered and filled at the same time. You know, Jay, after church last Sunday, was asking, and he came up and asked me, and he showed it to me, and he had this gift card, a large amount from HEB, and he goes, "Did you put this in my pocket?" And I go, "No." He goes, "Are you sure?" And I go, "No." And he went up to Easy. He goes, "Did you put this in my pocket?" And Easy goes, "No, I didn't." And I was telling Alan, and Alan goes, "Well, I'm impressed that he was blessed, but I'm more impressed that somebody was able to get it in his pocket without him knowing it." But so whoever can do that, kudos. Chris, come on up. Well, some of you never get to hear from Chris because he's always up on stage in the band. But when he's at RPM, we hear him, and whatever he says, he usually gets a rhema word from God that always blesses us, and it's always real. But this time he's going to get to share a little something else. So go ahead and share what God put on your heart.
Praise God. I just want to thank Alan and Lena. Paid me $5 to come here and talk to y'all. All right. I'm here to talk to y'all real quick, you know. No, she's right. I don't get to talk to y'all or share what God's doing in my life. I don't know. It doesn't happen that often. But I thank God that he is doing something in my life and in everyone's life here. And I didn't prepare anything. I mean, your testimony is so good. It's just like, I was like, "Oh, you got, you know, a PowerPoint and everything like that." And I didn't have, I don't have anything. And yours is so genuine and touching, you know, it's hard to touch any of those, all right? So I'm going to come here and tell y'all just what's God doing, real simple, you know. God is good. Amen. And this year's been rough, you know, y'all know. I was in a wreck at the beginning of the year, and my car got totaled. And miraculously, to God's grace, I'm still alive. Car didn't survive. Got a new car. Praise God, you know. Worked my tail off all year. I knew that change was coming. Change is still coming to us as a body. But to me, it was, like, very specific. I knew my apartment lease was running up. Like, I know it was, and at the beginning of the year, I thought it was going to be in October, end October. And so, like, in around mid-September, I was like, okay, it's time to look for a house or something, a new apartment, change it, because I was like, you know, I knew I had to change, you know? So I was, like, thinking, okay, find a new apartment. And Gina's like, my sister. Y'all don't know her, but, well, Izzy does, but she's a go-getter. She's in real estate, too, so y'all have a lot to talk about, y'all real estate people. So, you know, she needed to buy a home or something. I was like, all right. So I was, long story short, I was like, okay. I checked to see when my lease is up. Thought it was the end of November. It was the end of October. And then I was like, crud, I got to really find a place in about a month and a half. So I started looking. Imagine my sister pregnant, my realtor. going with me from house to house, pregnant. She, you know, in her, like, you know, pregnant clothes. And showing me these houses. I'm like, my sister, she's a go-getter. She's, like, due in, like, a month or two. And she's still, like, going with me from place to place. I'm like, man, you're amazing, you know? And she's opened the doors and everything like that. And she's, I could tell when we go into these places or these, to look at a new place, she goes into realtor mode. She goes into realtor mode, and she doesn't know my little sister anymore. It's really strange. She's using bigger words, like, you're not my little sister. You're not my little sister anymore. You know, you're my realtor all of a sudden. And, okay, anyways, I'm kind of going along with it. And she's going, yeah, yeah, and she'll give me, you know, I'll sell a yay or nay on it. It was very challenging. We finally found one. I was like, okay, this is a good one. We need to get this one. I look at the upside of things. Like, there's a lot of upside in this place. You know, made an offer. We thought it was such a deal. We gave them the full offer, and we were like, okay, we're gonna get this. No big deal. Well, turns out I got beat because the other person paid cash. I was like, dang, I was like mad. I was mad and upset because I was like, that was supposed to be mine. You know, I don't see why there was no reason why that couldn't be mine. You know, I gave full offer. I mean, what else did she want? And kind of devastated, you know, I just prayed after that because I hate that feeling of not having what God says I can have. You know, God says, you know. So, about 2 weeks passed by. We went and looked at these places when we couldn't agree on some. She's like, you should get this place. It's real nice. It's beautiful. It was real nice, guys. I mean, really nice. Thing was, it was overpriced, too expensive. And I couldn't get the gut feeling inside me. I tried to, like, tell God, you know, it's like, okay, this could be. And I tried to see all the angles to say, God, this could be, but it just didn't feel right inside. You know, you ever felt that? It doesn't feel right. You want it to be right, but you can't make it right. And I was like, okay, no, Gina, this can't. I mean, you think it's conservative. It's not. You know, we can't do that. And this other one, was two bedrooms, whatever. I was like, I could see a lot of upside here. You know, and it had things wrong with it. You know, and that's sometimes in our lives. We can see something that has a lot of good potential, but still, it's not for you. Made an offer on that one. They're like, no, we got somebody else making more money. It's like, you know, that's not it. We're going to move on. Gina so encourages, you know what? It's not God. We don't have to, we don't have to try to wrestle with that. One will come around. My sister's like a voice of reason sometimes. You know, sometimes she has so much confidence in certain things when I don't have confidence, especially if I don't know, you know, the housing situation thing, how it goes about, you know. So we finally found, we were like praying and kind of just seeking God. And knowing the time is short, one came up on a Sunday. No pictures on a Sunday. And I thought that, you know, Gina's like, that's odd. Like, they don't post on a Sunday afternoon. They post on a Friday, and they have pictures. They don't post on Sunday with no pictures. You know, so one day we agreed. Let's go take a look. She's like, let's go take a look. I said, okay, let's go take a look. So we go drive down there and go into the gates. Go in and looked around. And immediately I felt like this felt right. You know, the price was in my budget. It wasn't stretching me, wouldn't stretch me. And I could see a lot of upside on it. Yeah, it's right here in Houston. And so I was like, let's make an offer. So we made an offer. We made that offer. We told them, no, we didn't make it out. Well, at night, we said we want to make an offer. And in the morning, so she got it, and there was going to be somebody else looking at the place. And so that night before that, I go, I just really felt like I needed to pray. It's crazy. When God urges inside me, you got to pray about this. You know, the Holy Spirit, he kind of just like pushes me. I wanted to work out, right? I was going to work. You know me, you know. Come on, man. I like to work out, you know. You know, I get in there, I sweat, you know. I don't care, you know, what's going on. I just go and I enjoy it, you know. And I'm working out, and in the middle of my workout, you got to stop. You got to go pray because it's important. It just felt like the urge was there. It was more than, and I like, okay, yeah, it's more important than this workout right now. Even though I want to work out, let's go. So I go. I think I only did three sets instead of like the six or seven. I got out of there early, and I went and prayed. And you know, I was there praying. I didn't feel like praying about the house at that moment. At that one moment, I didn't feel like it. But I felt God say to give thanks. First. So I started thanking him for every one of you. So I went through the list. I went to Jason. I went to my Izzy, Spada. You name it. Everybody here. And people are not here. You know, Christmas. So I'm praying. John. Thanking for them, for you, them. Asking God to bless every single one of you. And that's, it was the pattern. And then after I got to the point of, in that prayer, in that moment, somehow it came into the point, okay, God, show me what you want. Because you show me. And I just declared, God, I see a home. I see a house. And I just declared that. I just declared that is what I saw. And the next day, I knew that they had one person to look at that place. But I was believing, even though they had one person, that they wouldn't make an offer cash and that place is mine. And sure enough, by 11 o'clock, he accepted my offer. And I give God the glory. I give God the thanks, the opportunity to own a home. So we're going to have a party or something. You know, we're going to have something, you know, housewarming. I just want to thank God. And I also want to tell you, I prayed that moment, even in that time of prayer, I also prayed for our building. Because it was important, because I see a house for us, a home for us. I failed to mention that, but I did. I prayed for that. Not just a home for me, but a home for us. And so much on God's heart. You know, it's not second, it's not in the back of his head, it's not behind the list of a lot of things. It's on his heart, you know. And so I know if my home's on his heart, our home is on his heart, I have no fear. I have no fear that we're going to have our own place, you know. So I just wanted to give God glory and thanks and praise. Wow. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. You made me cry. How long have you been here for people? Since you were a little tiny boy,
yeah,
17 or 18 years. So I've watched people when they were just praying, you know, to get from a part-time job to a full-time job. And then from a full-time job that had low hourly pay to, you know, a little better job. And then I remember the year that when it prophesied to Chris that he'd get a job by the end of a certain year. And I mean, it was like March, April, May, June, July, no matter what he applied for, it didn't work. August, September, nothing was happening. You know, October, November, nothing. And when did that job come? Was it November? Was that the month? It was cold. And we were like, see, what God said came to pass. And I love the fact that when God prompted him to leave his working out, which I know he loves to do, that he left and went to pray. And see, we're being prayed for when we don't even know it. Somebody's thanking God for you when you don't even know it. And thank you for that obedience, Chris. And I'm so delighted that now God has blessed you with your own home. That is awesome. You've come a long way, baby. And so congratulations. We're all thrilled. And you didn't need a PowerPoint, and you didn't need Jay's testimony, and you have you, and that's good enough, and we learned a lot, and it was delightful. Is there anything anybody else would like to share by the way of Thanksgiving or something that God has done for you?
Totally impromptu, but many of you know also that I'm walking through a season of going from a very high-paying job to being unemployed, well, self-employed, unemployed, self-employed, whatever you want to call it. But in that process of standing in faith and not letting me, you know, not looking at my circumstance, not looking at the fact that I have no paycheck coming in. I mean, for more than 20 years, I had a steady paycheck. I mean, that was my provision, if you will. And so it's truly been a walk of faith. And, you know, not to say that at times I haven't struggled a little bit to be like, okay, God, what next? You know, what next? So took a huge step of faith in stepping out and doing something that I believe he called me to do. And, you know, it's been challenging. I'm not going to lie. It's been challenging at times. But what God spoke to my heart was, you know, praise precedes the promise. So it's real fitting with Thanksgiving. I wasn't asked to come share, but I know without a doubt that if we allow ourselves to get in a place of moaning and groaning and, you know, God, why? Why does this person get this blessing? And why does this person get this? And here I am, I don't even have a paycheck, and I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage next month or the second mortgage because I stepped out in this, leap of faith. For those of you who don't know the circumstance, I was in corporate America, oil and gas. And a year prior, I felt like I had heard in March, April of next year, so that would have been in 2015, you will no longer be, I would be leaving corporate America. But God was also dealing with some things within my heart, within me. And he was working some things out, and I kind of chunked it off and I dismissed it like, yeah, okay, well, so if I don't deal with that issue, then I'm going to end up losing my job. So I really sort of just filed it in the, we're just going to put that one in the back burner, whatever. 2015, you know, towards the end of the year, nothing really happened to give me any indication that I was not going to be in corporate America any longer. But starting after the first of the year, that feeling started stirring up in me again. And I started having dreams that would also seem to allude to the same thing. I'm a dreamer. God gives me lots of dreams and sometimes some visions, and these dreams would just keep coming. That, you know, one was so vivid of me actually seeing my office completely packed up with a nice little brown package in the middle of my desk. And on top of that was this red and white label. And so it's very, I dream in symbolic, and it requires lots of interpretation, but like I knew that, like, okay, some change is about to happen, and that would have been around February. And so it didn't take me by surprise that on March 30th at 3:38 p.m., my phone rang with HR, and I could walk in there knowing that, hey, a year ago, I heard this. I don't have anything to worry about. I can move forward in peace. As a matter of fact, I went on a trip, mission trip after that, and I was talking to someone about the circumstance, and she says, man, you just have such a peace about you. You know, when God has called you, it called transition and change in your life, you don't have anything to worry about. You know, you can walk in that, truly that attitude of gratitude. You know, my story is still being written. You know, I've had to walk through some stuff with this. So I purchased an investment home. Most of you guys, you all know it. These people, I don't think do. I had to fill in some blanks. Purchased an investment home, renovated it to turn around and sell it, so flip it. There has been some challenges along the way. There's some things I could have done differently, some decisions I could have done differently, some attitudes I could have had that were, you know, should have been different or what have you. But we are where we are right now, and God is still in the midst of it. No matter what, he is still in the midst of it, and it is still going to be okay. And I can walk in that place of knowing he is still in control and praise him and thank him, because the praise truly does open the door for you to inherit the promise. Like, I can't say how much he has been putting that in me. Praise precedes the promise. Praise precedes the promise. So God, I thank you that you have spoken words of prosperity over my life. You know, I've had numerous words. Well, if you were looking at my natural circumstance right now, it doesn't look like I'm walking in prosperity. It doesn't look like I'm going to be a paymaster in the kingdom like he said, but he said it. And I thank him for that because he said it, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. And I praise him for that because he said it. And the more I praise him for it, the more he's able to move in the situation and that promise can come forth. You know, it doesn't matter what my tithe check looks like right now. I mean, it's not what it was when I first got saved. If it's a little bit less. It doesn't matter. The fact is, he promised. He is our provider. Even if it's not a prophetic promise in the word, he is your provider. And you can praise him for that. So, story is still being written, but it's going to be good.
Amen. Praise precedes the promise. It's really where we started. It was the article that you didn't even know I was going to read. And so, if you notice, every single person, though, God spoke to them. They had a vision, a dream, a prompting, a scripture, a supernatural experience. We're not in this alone. And so God is speaking. God is moving. No matter whether, you know, in the sunshine or the rain, he's still the same. He's a supernatural God, and we're not going to get through this alone. And we can't do it without him. And if we obey his promptings and we do what he says, the way he says to do it, and yield to him, we will always get his results. And so all of us are depending on him together. And we're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise, knowing that praise precedes the promise. And we're going to obey and live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Agreed?